Okay, let me save this real quick. Oops. All right, it's saving. Let's switch over to the notes in the, I think it's, yeah. And forgive me for this. If you scroll down to box three, you're going to think, what happened here? No clue. I'm using all these different, you know, what do you call them? HTML converters or WYSIWYGs and stuff. One of them messed up, and I can't get that box out of there, that box on the left. For some, it just doesn't show up on any of my software. And so box number three, when I talk about the Vatican exorcism, it's going to be, you know, a scrolling wonder to get through that one. And then of course, the rest of them. You know, so, but, yeah, that's annoying. I couldn't get it out. I tried everything I could, and I should have just wiped the whole thing and started from scratch, but, you know, the clock was screaming at me. And so anyway, let me knock this down and get ready to start another one. I'm not going to record the music, although the stream will. It's just that I'm sick of dealing with the issues on my end with the, you know, with the way my sound card is acting up when I start putting in new drivers. And so I'm not going to mess with it. So let me drop the mic and put it on in the room, the stream here.
Lift up your voice.
anybody made like a zip file of just Seventh Day Remnant singers? If you have, please email it to me. This music is amazing. I mean, it's, you know, I've got all these scripture songs in my truck. I want to add this. You know, I just want to have just to drive down the road listening to this stuff. Please, please, if anybody's got a zip file with all those in there, please email it to me as soon as you can. Thank you. Okay, so if you can right now, please kneel. And if you can't kneel, your Father understands. Perfectly acceptable. Bow your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with this opportunity to come together. Thank you for blessing us with the fixes, if you will, with the technology now. And thank you for the hedge of angels that are always there, even when we're not using this technology. But thank you for blessing us on this Sabbath day with your presence and the changing of the showbread. Please continue to bridle my tongue and give me opportunity to share these truths, as well as all of us to share these truths with others, so that they too can come into the truth and gain eternal life by accepting your Son as Savior and King. And it is in that way that we pray, and we thank you for accepting our prayers in the name of your precious Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, amen and amen. And yeah, I just noticed the we got 11 thumbs down again. Yeah, it's that one troll that could be one or two people that don't agree with us, you know, but there's that troll that comes in with, he admitted to having 2,000 different names, any Seventh-day Adventist. Pray for these people. They have no idea that using such hate and lies, because it's not even his real name, or it could be a woman for all we know, but pray for them, because they know not what they do. And when they, if they refuse to repent, they are eventually going to fall at our feet. If we're part of that Gideon band, as we're glowing, looking up onto the Savior, and they're going to be falling. The Seventh-day Adventists are the ones that Spirit of Prophecy says will be falling at our feet, worshiping us, no less, because the world has infected their brains so much that they actually think that's acceptable. So like some sort of vindication, but that's their own fault, because worship means to obey. And so they're actually worshiping their apostate pastors, all those wolves. They worship them instead of Christ. That's why it says what it says in the scriptures about serving the, you know, worshiping the creature over and above the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, and I want to praise the Lord that we don't have the text yet going on now in the stream. That's probably why we have hardly anybody in the stream, but that's okay. Those who need to hear it are there. That's all that matters to us and our Lord. Okay, let me get my notes up here. This week, we're going to be talking about, I don't even know the number of this prophecy. I know I've got 26 of my favorites on the website on one specific page called Characteristics of Antichrist. And I'm slowly but surely editing and rebuilding it and fixing all the typos and all that other stuff, which means I'm going to have to republish the book, Antichrist, that I did, because the people that originally did it for me missed a lot of typos, because as I'm redoing this, I'm noticing the typos and the new information that the Lord has given as well. I want to put in there, you know. It's just like with the book, People Get Ready. My updated version is the page on my website called We Are Very Near the End, because I add, you know, I put the People Get Ready stuff in there as well as all the additional info that's going on. And I actually turn that into a sermon series, and that's why I did it that way. And so anyway, this week, this Sabbath, we're talking about how Antichrist is a world power which the world will wonder after. You know, it says right there in Revelation 13, verses 3 and 4, the notes are in the room. Well, the notes are under the room for those of you that are in the chat room. Let me just make sure I did it. I put them in there. Hold on. Yep, there they are. And let's see that. Yep, that box 3 is messed up down there too. Well, it's going to be so. But yeah, Revelation 13, verses 3 and 4 says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon," or obeyed the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast, and who was able to make war with him? And by the way, just like I said decades ago that the prophecy was fulfilled about the image of the beast because of what went down in 1954 with Lyndon Johnson with the 501c3, and then again on March 7th, 2006, with George W. Bush doing what he did, making the 501c3 an executive order to where you can now speak politically from your pulpits, but pastors were still kind of skittish about doing that because unless you had some big connections with the Vatican and the U.S. government, you might still deal with the free speech issue. That's why Bush was sending people into the churches to watch what they were saying during his campaign. And then on December 2nd, 2017, Trump changed that executive order to an actual law. So now the next president can't even, because an executive order only lasts as the president who writes it. And if the next president likes it, it stays on the books. But if not, it's just thrown out, just like all the stuff that Trump threw out that Obama put down. But no one can throw this out unless it's an act of Congress, because it's an actual law now that the Seventh-day Adventist pastors can now lobby religious law. And so that prophecy was fulfilled, even though a lot of people say it's not yet until this goes down or that goes down or the markers enforce this. Well, you know, semantics. That's all that is because the fact of the matter is the Bible said that a church and state was going to join together, and they did. So prophecy fulfilled. What they're going to do next doesn't matter. We know it's in the prophecy. Well, it's the same thing with the deadly wound. I declared in a video a few months ago, maybe even a year ago, it's healed. It's absolutely positive. I'm convinced it's healed. But no one wants to see it that way. And so in this section of All the World Wonders After the Beast, if you go to the Characteristics of Antichrist page on my website, I don't even know if I have the – did I put the video link in the – here, let me go to the – I don't think I did. Nope. Oh, yeah, I did. It's the next to the last link on box 7. The deadly wound is now healed. And I prove it because of what I'm going to be sharing this Sabbath. All throughout history, the Roman Catholic Church has appealed to the masses merely because sin is appealing to the lost. And seeing how the majority of the earth are sinful now, a lot more than ever, they're simply going with the numbers. The Vatican, they're simply going to be going with the numbers because they know for a fact they're going to get all sorts of support in that demographic. It's because they're politicians. They're the mother and father of all politicians of today. That's why every U.S. president has to meet with the Pope. And if he has two terms, he's got to meet with them twice. Think about that. Everybody seems to think that's a church. He doesn't do it at any of the other churches, president. Why is he doing it with a Pope? Seriously. No one catches that. But being that they are the mother of politicians, they know exactly how to test the waters, and as they have had literally centuries to fine-tune their craft, that's what they're doing. So most will say that Rome must be the true church because of its immense size. But looking to Scripture, one can see that the size is a true giveaway that it is, in fact, evil. Case in point, all the world thought Noah and his family were insane, did they not? Only 8 people on the planet were walking with God at that time. As always, the majority is most likely to be those that are friends with the world. Did not Jesus clearly say in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, that we should enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be, and many there which be, go in thereat? And Brother Joe, I forgot to turn on my recorder, so send me the recording. You know, the MP3 of the sermon at the end, if you can, please. Thank you. And so, okay, thanks. Thank you for always being there, because I always, a lot of times I forget to do that. Anyway, then verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And notice that, whenever the president of the United States travels abroad, now check this out, a lot of people never knew this, there would be upwards of 1,000 or more journalists covering his every move. I know that seems like a wild number, but it's true. They're actually, they cover every step from whatever nation to the next nation to the next nation. It'll pile up to about 1,000 or so. And during an election, one could expect that number to double too, by the way. But during wartime, it would even triple. But now, look at the Pope. no matter what the occasion is, there is always, and I found this online documented somewhere, there's always a minimum of 15,000 journalists covering his every move. If the Pope so much as stubs his toe, people the world overhear about it. All the world truly does wonder after this beast. And just so you know, the word wondered in verse 3 of Revelation 13 is translated by, what is it, Strong's number 2296. It's to wonder at, or marvel, and admiration. Okay, so every popular magazine on earth has either openly stated the Pope an admirable man or a holy man of God, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, too. There's, B.T. Jones, I think, he said he called the Pope Your Holiness on a video. I put the video on my last video, but I didn't put the video of him saying it. And then Ben Carson called him Holy Leader. I mean, and then, of course, handing him medals and defending him and saying he's no longer Antichrist. That's on the historical trash heap, that stuff. So we all know that they've been, you know, defending him. But Time Magazine back in May of 1981 said, it's like shooting God, okay, quote unquote, when the Pope was shot, you know, when John Paul II was shot. Check it out. It's from, box two. Oh, I forgot to put this. I didn't put it in the, anyway, it's Time Magazine, May 25th, 1981. The article was titled, It's Like Shooting God. You can find this anywhere on YouTube, or on the, well, probably on YouTube, but on the internet. And it was written by George J. Church, of all names. And he said, shooting presidents, well, that's politics. That I can understand. Oh, it's in there. It's in box two. Oh, there it is. Thanks, Michael, Brother Mike. That I can understand. But shooting the Pope, it's like shooting God, right? So it's bad enough. Think about this. It is bad enough for a man to believe that shooting another man is like shooting God. But to have a brazen disrespect for the lives of presidents who are assassinated merely because of their occupation is troubling, to say the least. I mean, the simple fact to notice is this. If the Pope were God, as he claims to be in dozens of authenticated Vatican quotes, then why, I ask, has it never been recorded in any history book whatsoever of a Pope raising a dead man, healing a blind man, a deaf man, a leper, or even a cripple? How about a simple miracle as easy as healing himself? I mean, how many popes have died since the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church? I mean, truth is, 100% of them died. 100%. Well, except for Ratzinger and Francis. But I thought they said they were God. And they're going to die soon, obviously, but because they're not gods, right? So why is it they keep dying? And why is it no one notices this? In fact, why is it everyone missed when Pope John Paul II himself was unable to cast a demon out of a 19-year-old girl not long ago during a Vatican Mass? It happened in the year 2000 on September 12th. That's that article that you're going to have to scroll as you're reading it. See, I'm going to scroll it up. It's titled Vatican Exorcism Fails, and I'm just going to read a little bit here from it. It says, a British newspaper has reported an unusual encounter with the devil in the Vatican with Pope Paul II. Oh, no, that was Pope Paul. Oh, no, it's a possessed young woman. Yeah, it is John, too. So the people say I edited it. So unless they edited it later and found their snafu, you know. If they did, I'll fix it then, too. But the Telegraph reported the Pope carried out an impromptu exorcism on a teenage girl after she began screaming insults in a cavernous voice during an audience in the Vatican City. Despite the Pope's efforts and those of his chief Satan buster, some priest named Gabriel Amorth, the girl remained possessed. And by the way, that priest was the head exorcist, and he couldn't cast the demon out. It says, the devil's voice sneeringly laughed from within her at the Pope's failed attempt to drive him away, said a British news organization. And Sally Suck wrote that. Okay, let me... I guess that was... Well, I'll go to the next one, wherever that one is. Okay, yeah, that one is the next one I got to read, too. So, but this was made known globally. Still, Catholics stayed in the church, and 15,000 cameras kept snapping their pictures. Their wonderment of this man in robes has them hypnotized. All the world is wondering after him. And Adam Clark put it best regarding the popes when he said this, and this is what I'm going to read next in that gray spot there in the stream. Speaking of the popes, he said, they have assumed infallibility, which belongs only to God. They profess to forgive sins, which belongs only to God. They profess to open and shut heaven, which belongs only to God. They profess to be higher than all the kings of the earth, which belongs only to God. And they go beyond God in pretending to loose whole nations from their oath of allegiance to their kings when such kings do not please them. And they go against God when they give indulgences for sin. This is the worst of all blasphemies. And that was taken from Adam commentary on Daniel 7:25. Evil of this church worldwide. And now, yes, that number is fudged, just like any church that seeks government subsidies. They will say they removed your names from the books when you ask them to, but they never really do, because the more members they have, the more money the U.S. government grants them. And think on this as well. And if you can, try to find a way to warn the dear Catholic people about this reality, but 100% of every Roman Catholic that is a member of that church by birth are all in that church simply because it's their family religion. But here's what they all missed. And it's so sad when you think about this. All of them are Catholics to this day simply because their ancestors refused to worship Christ. 100% of them. The Inquisition demanded that all peoples far and wide denounce Christ as Lord and palate and replace him with the Pope. That is a basic historic fact. And the reason they stay in today is twofold. Number one, they're too embarrassed to admit their church is that evil to where it would kill those innocent Christians. And number two, the way Catholicism is designed is that it slowly destroys the faith as well as the willpower to do the right thing. But don't get me wrong. I do believe there are still some faithful people in the church. Revelation 18 would never have called them my people when commanding they leave it, just like with the SDA church. And so keep sharing with them, and they too will escape, just like some of you did, and that includes my wife and I as well. We were devout Catholics too. So, but to further keep the global wonderment of the Pope moving ahead, as we see today, that all the mainstream media outlets wonder after him as their God calling him Holy Father, that is a blasphemous term, in fact. We learned about that earlier in characteristic number 9 of the Antichrist, where he blasphemes. The term Holy Father is only found once in Scripture, and it's when Jesus is talking to his Father in John 17. John 17 is a prayer that he did in Gethsemane. That whole chapter is a prayer. Which also shows that the Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's not a prayer. It's an outline. It's an outline of prayer, because they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And then he used that outline in John 17. And so they do this in the media as well as in the halls of government, you know, call him a Holy Father and all that. And so many so-called Protestant leaders have called the Pope Holy Father, to further indoctrinate their members. And yes, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has decided to follow their lead as well. As far as I know, they don't call him Holy Father, maybe behind closed doors, but they don't do it openly. But they have been caught on camera as well as in articles to have called him Holy Leader or simply Your Holiness, as, like I said earlier, that Seventh-day Adventist Pastor B.T. Rice, that was his name, Rice, he did it on camera. And I have the link to that article on the SDAapostasy.org page. Look at the articles link on the left side. There's a bunch of links. And so even the SDA people are lured into wondering after him. Okay. And the links are in box 7 of the notes here. Let's see. Yep, there it is, this first one. Okay, so it says click that link, and then you scroll to link number 36, 75, and 169. Because I have more than one article or video about them, the SDA leaders doing that. So, anyway, Antichrist has to have everybody in agreement by choice. That's why it's not everybody. The people that are going to get it by choice are, you're getting it in the forehead. And then the ones that won't go by choice are going to be going by force, and that's why the mark is symbolically seen as being received in the right hand, because prophetic symbolism is just that. You got to see what the Bible means when it uses the term forehead or right hand. You can't just say it's a tattoo slapped on your forehead or burned into your right hand. So, but his plan, the Pope has to get them all to agree, whether by force or by simple agreement, so that his plans for global control can go forth. I mean, the easy part, of course, is to get the masses in agreement with the Pope as being a moral man. And people are easy to manipulate in mass numbers a lot easier than one-on-one. I mean, this is all regardless of the fact that not 30 or 40 years ago, most Protestant religions openly proclaimed him Antichrist. And at the turn of the 20th century, 100% of every forefather called him Antichrist. 100% of them. Or they called him beast or simply a man of sin. Today, none do, as I can see. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church not only stopped calling him Antichrist or the beast or man of sin or son of perdition, I have a video posted wherein they actually defend him in writing. It's right. That's the third link here. SDA Church defends the Pope on box number 7 there. And it's for those that don't quite believe all the Protestant churches called him Antichrist at one time, I suggest surfing to my page entitled "They Called Him Antichrist" in the prophecy section of the menu. It's also in box 7 here. I have quotes from most mainline denominations declaring the Pope of Rome to be Antichrist. And for those that can't quite see how all the world wanders after the Pope, notice this boastful statement made by Pope Pius X in his encyclical. Let me scroll up. It's this last, I think, section. Yeah, this section here on the gray area in the stream or the notes. This is from Pope Pius. He said this in 1864. Okay? So, and they had to do this because of what went down in 1798 at the end of the 1260-year prophecy. Yeah, that's part of that 2300-year bunch that Daniel put forward with all those dates. The Pope literally lost his church of state power in the exact... When speaking of the Pope's power, he says he has the right to require state not to leave any man free to possess or profess his own religion. That's where America's headed, by the way. That's why I put that page on the website calling religious laws are coming. The Pope has the right to employ force. The Pope has the right to claim dominion in temporal things. The Pope has the right to have entire control of public schools. All right? Yeah, that's why they're a mess. That's why they push homosexuality and all that stuff. I mean, think about it. The largest known organized group of homosexual pedophiles on the planet are Roman Catholic priests. 98% of the Vatican prelates are homosexual. That was put out about, 5 years ago? Not all, 80% of the real estate in San Francisco, the homosexual capital of the world, is owned by the Vatican. And the Vatican has two brothels that they bought, homosexual brothels, in Rome, right down the street from the Vatican so they could frequent it on a regular basis. That was outed, 3 years ago. And so that's why the public schools are such a mess. All right, going on. And that's why John F. Kennedy made it illegal to pray in schools. Roman Catholic John F. Kennedy. In the 1960s, made it illegal for children to pray in the schools. They outlawed it. Why? Well, because Catholic Church has control over the schools, and if their Catholic president ain't going to go along with it, well, he got shot for other reasons. But anyway, going on, the Pope has the right to hold princes and kings in subjection. I remember one that made him stand for 4 days, I think, out in the snow on his bare feet. The Pope has the right to treat all marriages as invalid, which are not solemnized. According to the forms of the Council of Trent, the Pope has the right to prevent the state granting to immigrants the public exercise of their own worship. And finally, he said that the Pope has the right to require the state not to permit free expression of opinion. In other words, remove free speech. And that's why I put that other page on my website called Rome's Attack on Free Speech. Okay, so every single move of the Pope is televised on a global scale as a blanket deception over every eye on earth. Every church on the planet has absolute evidence that they have followed and allowed the Roman Catholic Church to tell them how to worship in one way or another. Well over a decade ago, I shared proof that the United States Internal Revenue Service has also bowed to the suggestions of this Latin-speaking man. And there's a page on my website called Roman Catholic IRS. You might want to check that out when you get time. I don't know if I put that in the... did I put it in the links? Nope. Anyway, where did I leave off here? Okay. And, oh, yeah, and every man and woman, every man, woman, and child is affected in one way or another by the actions of the Vatican in Rome, whether in a spiritual or physical sense, or both. Every nation on earth must have friendly relations with the Vatican in order to assure her friends do not remove them from the face of the earth. Hence the reason every U.S. president must meet with the Pope after every successful election. And every war, every modern-day war in history, since end times began in 1844, every one of those wars had to do with some nation refusing to bow to the Pope. Seriously. Somebody's got a write-up about that on the online. And anyway, all nations declare, just as the prophecy said, who is able to make war with him? Because he's got the United States military in his hip pocket. So every Protestant church in the past has openly declared the Pope Antichrist, but they have now come forward in these last days to declare a change of mind. Every popular religious leader on earth, regardless of the fact that they profess Jesus Christ as Lord or not, have all declared the Pope a holy man. Numerous strange laws found their ways on the books in every nation on earth, which have been first suggested by Rome. Every constitution, I did a write-up on this, I was watching this, and I even put it in my page on the website about, you know, was she a prophet, or how she says the constitutions are going to change in the U.S. The Vatican changed all the constitutions around the world. Why? Well, to reflect Vatican law. And now every church, regardless of its proclamation of faith, Christian or non-Christian alike, are now filling the pews of the Pope's newly created One World Church as of February 4th, 2019. So, has all the world wondered after this beast? Yeah, they have. For even the churches themselves have proclaimed their allegiance to this man. Now, this next quote I'm going to share, I got this. Churches agree that Pope has overall authority. This was what started my... Well, actually, I had been doing newsletters for years before this, but this is the first... This article moved me to make the very first newsletter about the One World Church, and then saying how it was going to come to fruition quickly, but I didn't think it was going to come that fast, because the very next year... Because this went down in May of 1999, what I'm about to read, and then on June 26, 2000, the Pope was elected the official leader of the One World Church. But it was only Christians in there at this point. Now it's the Muslims and everybody, you know. So anyway, it says this. The Pope was recognized as the overall authority in the Christian world by an Anglican and Roman Catholic commission yesterday, which described him as a gift to be received by all churches. If a new United Christian Church was created, it would be the Bishop of Rome who would exercise a universal primacy. And then... little less than 12 months later, that's what happened. Going on, it says, the 43-page document, The Gift of Authority, has been produced by the 18-member Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission after 5 years of debate. The commission concluded that the Bishop of Rome had a specific ministry concerning the discernment of truth and accepted that only the Pope had the moral authority to unite the various Christian denominations. Mark Birchall, a member of the England Evangelical Council, said, it speaks as if the Bishop of Rome has always been on the side of the angels, while it is well known that for several centuries past, the Bishop of Rome was certainly not. And then the Right Reverend, which is a blasphemous term, title, rather, and his name was Cormac Murphy O'Connor, Bishop of Arundel in Brighton, and the co-chairman added that the primacy of the Pope is a gift to be shared. And that, what I just read, for those listening on the radio, is the Electronic Telegraph United Kingdom News, May 13, 1999, by Oliver Pohl. And you can get it from freepublic.com. Freepublic.com. So check this article out that quite graphically proves all the world wonders after this beast in Rome. And I even did this in a newsletter as well. There was a meeting called back in June of 1999. There was a similar meeting, too, recently, where all the CEOs, politicians, met with the Pope. There's a reason for this. It's called buy and sell. Everyone's got to be on the same page for this to go down, right? Now, check this out. They had this meeting between June 3rd and June 6th to discuss something those of us that study prophecy knew was inevitable. They had this meeting with all the CEOs to discuss the buying and selling of every man, woman, and child alive on planet Earth. Headline, Clinton, Pope, join Bilderberger's secret meeting of global movers, shakers in Portugal. And this is from 1999, and WorldNet Daily reported this. It says, what do Steven Spielberg, Pope John Paul II, Ted Turner, Boris Yeltsin, Bill Clinton, and House Speaker Dennis Hassert have in common? They are among those on a partial guest list. And I've got the list, and I posted it, but I'm not going to read it. Even though it's partial, it's huge. They didn't put the whole list up because it would have really raised eyebrows. But it says, these are among those on a partial guest list of expected attendees to the 1999 Bilderberg meeting in Portugal scheduled for next week. The secret meeting in Sintra, Portugal, takes place June 3rd to the 6th, according to sources which have penetrated the high security meetings in the past. The Bilderberg meetings emphasize a globalist agenda and promote the idea that the notion of national sovereignty is antiquated and regressive. And that has to do with the prophecy of Daniel about the 10 toes, which has already on paper now. All they got to do is just drop the other shoe and, you know. But can you guess what they're up to? Can you guess why the Pope was there? And yes, the Pope was the only so-called religious leader attending that meeting. He was the only one. Have you ever seen who is on this list? It appears every base is covered. Besides the obvious heads of state from all over the world that attend that global meeting, there's just a few that I found to be on that list a bit strange. What are these guys doing in a global meeting such as this? Were Clinton and the Pope there to assure that the global desires are understood by all the people of the world? Yeah, you think? And so look at the names on this list. I don't think I put it in there, did I? No, I didn't. I'll read a few of them off because it's just too long. I don't want to put it because it would have been scrolling forever. But look at the names on this list. And look at some of the companies that were present there. It appears our daily lives were discussed at the meeting because every manufacturer of what you drive to what you eat are present at that meeting. It also appears our everyday lives are to be altered in a way that can only confirm that the mark of the beast is about to be enforced. Why else would all these companies be present at that meeting with a pope? Think about it. The Bible says you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now think about all these companies being in agreement with the Pope or wandering after him as the prophecy said they will do. Now think about the Pope insisting that anyone that does not agree with these so-called doctrines will be prevented from buying or selling anything from these Vatican-affiliated companies. And that's why all these Vatican-affiliated companies have 666 somewhere in their logos, by the way. If you just look, I did a video about that. All these logos, it's hidden in there somewhere, whether it's boldly three sixes or three waves. Ancient hieroglyphics, the wave equals the six. And for those of you that said, somebody sent me an email saying they didn't believe that the upside-down cross in the Seventh-day Adventist logo is legit. I'm kind of like stretching. Well, I'm an artist. I can see things that are easily hidden. As a matter of fact, when I was a teenager, I used to sit in homeroom class waiting for my next class, staring at a cinder block wall, connecting the dots, because the cinder block wall had dots all over it. So I would just look at this wall, and I would just find a face or something in there and then trace it onto the paper on my desk, right, even though the wall was like 5, 6, 7 feet away. And so they hide these things in there. And so the upside-down cross is very apparent in the Seventh-day Adventist logo. But if you don't believe that, then explain the three waves. That's right. That encircle the globe for the Pope. Those three waves are symbolic of 666. So anyway, they're discussing it. They discussed at this meeting all the buying and selling. And, you know, you couldn't buy and sell anything from these Vatican companies if you did not agree with their mark. And then realize that the power to enforce his desires are found in the one world court system that was already set up in Rome in 1999. I got a newsletter all about that too. And also keep in mind that he thinks he has no one to answer to but himself, because he's above God, right? Because the prophecy said he would. And so when you get time, check out the partial list that I'm going to read a few things from. The entire list was never made public, but I got a partial list, and I think I got the link in here. Yeah, there it is. It's like 1, 2, I should put numbers instead of dots. 1, 2, 3, 4. It says partial list of all the CEOs on planet Earth. Actually, the politicians were there too. I forgot, because Dennis Hastert was there, and Clinton was there, so I messed that up. So anyway, let me share some of these here. I'm not going to read their names unless their names are known by everybody, but AT&T. Armstrong, you know, Michael Armstrong was there. He was the CEO of AT&T at the time. So nobody knows Michael Armstrong, but they know AT&T, right? And Silicon Graphics was there. Let's see, Honeywell, you know, your thermostat? He was there. That's Michael Bonsignor. I guess he's French. And then, let's see, I'm going to scroll down a little bit more. America Online. At that time, the CEO was Stephen Case. I guess this was before Ted Turner bought him out. I guess. I don't know. And then Frank Caulfield also. He was the American Online board and partner with him. Bear Stern was there. Let's see. Cisco Systems, you know, the routers. Let's see. Goldman Sachs was there. Bank of America, which is actually a Jesuit-owned bank. They changed its name from... Fran brought this up years ago. I didn't notice, and she found something on it, where the Jesuits owned the bank, and they had I think it was called the Bank of Rome or something, and they changed it to a Bank of America. Anyway, Dell Computers, Smith Barney, back when it was Salomon Smith Barney, now it's just Smith Barney today, President of Tel Aviv University, that's right, a Jew. All right. Walt Disney, Roy Disney was there. He was the vice chairman and nephew of Walt Disney. He was there. Let's see. I'm going to scroll on. Oracle was there. Texas Instruments was there. Morgan Stanley. Dean Witter was there. The bank, you know, Jacob Frankel, Bank of Israel, he was there. Okay, I'm not going to go through all this. I'm going to go hit some of the names that we all... Microsoft, obviously. Bill Gates was there. IBM. Lou Gerstner was there, probably sitting right next to Bill, laughing about that lawsuit that we all paid Bill for. You know, we had to pay $10 for Microsoft when they got caught stealing DoubleSpace back in the DOS days. I used to use that a lot because it would triple or double the size of your hard drive, because back then you were only working with megabytes. And so, what was the strategy focus? I don't know what that is. New York Stock Exchange, the CEO, you know, Richard Grasso, he was there. Let's see. Intel was there. Merrill Lynch was there. Wiseman Institute was there. Israel Chief Scientist was there. I'm not going to try to pronounce that name. Apple. Steve Jobs was there, literally, before he died, obviously. Let's see. And there's Merrill Lynch again. Let's see. Israeli scientist, chief scientist, or former chief scientist. He was there, too. Ari Levy, his name. Another one, Alex Lerner, he's another Israeli scientist, he was there. Time Warner was there. President of the Hebrew University was there. Microsystems was there, another AOL guy. Let's see, some Israeli physicist was there. I just got a few more. Compaq. Oh, man. I remember the first time I cracked open a Compaq computer when I was doing computer programming for this one prison ministry back in the day. And they wanted me to network the place, so I had to put a NIC card in it. And when I opened it up, I noticed right in the middle of the motherboard was a face of Cyclops on the green board, where all the, you know, you got all those, like, solder lines. What are they called, tracers? They're all over the motherboard, right? And all of the tracers met at that one spot where the face of Cyclops was. And I showed it to the owners. I said, you know what this means, though? This is a pagan god. Every command and everything that you do in this office goes through that face. I suggest getting rid of this computer. And he laughed it off, the Baptist guy. He was that former mobster. But let's see. Compaq was there. New York Stock Exchange, IBM again. Packard, you know, HP. Back then it was called Hewlett-Packard. Now it's just HP. Of course, Pope John Paul II was there. They finally put his name in there. Schwab. Charles Schwab was there. Exxon was there, Viacom, HBO was there. Yeah, think about that. All that sinful stuff, they're all gathering together. I mean, the term Universal Theater, Universal Studios, Universal in Latin is Catholic. Yeah, Catholic. Let's see. I got a few more here. Let's see if I can find Schwab again. Chase Manhattan. Steven Spielberg, obviously, because he was mentioned in the article. He was there. Let's see. General Motors, GM. That Jack Smith. That's an original name. George Soros. That guy's still alive, too. George Soros. The publisher of the Jerusalem Post was there. So, take that with a grain of salt when you read his articles next. Ford Motor Company again. Turner Broadcast. You know, Ted Turner, he was there. Let's see. Charles Wang of Computer Associates Internet. You know, CAI. Citicorp. Unisys. And another Israeli writer. So, all the world truly wonders after this beast, and truly know that no one is like unto this beast, nor can anyone make war with him. He's got too many connections. This prophecy, and this is why they all weep, by the way, when the Vatican burns, because they're all connected. They're all making money this way. This prophecy is fulfilled in the Vatican of Rome. And yes, just so you know, the president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church has also declared allegiance to this man of sin in Rome. Notice what he said not too long ago. And I wonder if there was a Seventh-day Adventist church. Well, obviously no church reps were there at that time. Yeah, it was just CEOs and politicians. But anyway, this is what, this was a court transcript, as a matter of fact. So Neil C. Wilson, that's the father of Ted Wilson. And you'll see here that the apple don't fall far from the tree. Notice what he said here. He said, although it is true that there was a period in the life of the Seventh-day Adventist Church when the denomination took a distinctly anti-Roman Catholic viewpoint, that attitude on the Church's part was nothing more than a manifestation of widespread anti-popery among conservative Protestant denominations in the early part of this century and the latter part of the last, which has now been consigned to the historical trash heap so far as the Seventh-day Adventist Church is concerned. In other words, he's also declaring all the pioneers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church were evil, wicked, false prophets, in fact. Right? Now notice what he said just a few short years later. This is, again, Neil C. Wilson. He said this as president of the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He said this in Adventist Review on March 5th, 1981, on page 3. It's right there in the room there if you want to read along. There is another universal and truly Catholic organization, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so, remember what I said earlier in the study hour? If you're Seventh-day Adventist, your own leader says you're Catholic. And one last and very important turn of events that not even the Seventh-day Adventist leaders will tell you about, because they too are members of the One World Church and cannot admit this, or even warn their people under Vatican agreement, as well as 501c3 agreement, which is, of course, the birth child or child of Catholicism. The One World Church started on February 4th, 2019, and then just 4 days later, I kid you not, you can't make this stuff up. February 4th, 2019, One World Church officially forms on camera. Everybody in the world is gathered in like a teleconference. The Pope, with some main imam, is signing some document on screen declaring the One World Church is now official. In front of billions of eyeballs, right? And then just 4 days later, the Vatican put out a video on Rome Reports. I think Brother Daniel sent this to me. They put out a video on Rome Reports, and it's in Box 7 here. Very last link, Box 7. If you want to check this out, 4 days later, they put it out on video on YouTube as well as all their Catholic networks around the world with this title, Gallup. That's a Gallup poll. So Gallup polls. They did a poll and it says Gallup rates Pope Francis as the world's best leader. They aren't wasting any time on this, brothers and sisters. And if you're in a church that never told you about this, it's only because your pastor is in bed with Rome to do just as Christian prophecy declared the wolves on the pulpits will do in the very last days. And when you get a chance, read my June 6th, 1999 newsletter titled Global Universal Power of the Pope for many additional facts on this. And by the way, this prophetic fulfillment proves the deadly wound is now healed. They're just waiting for the other shoe to drop to make it overwhelmingly obvious. The ball is already rolling down the hill where we can't stop it. And why should we? You can't stop Christian prophecy. We're here to glorify our Lord, not shut him up. We are here to glorify him. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Praise the Lord. Thank you. That was Pastor Craig and his family. Please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very, very, very much for blessing us with this inside information, as some people like to call it, but the truth from your word that exposes all that's going on in the world right now so that we can be ready and have plenty of advance warning. So as to not be caught off guard, we won't be able to declare, oh, you never told us this, for you have. But Father, we pray. We pray wholeheartedly that you give us more love in our hearts, more opportunities to go forth and proclaim this to others that don't read their Bibles. They need to know this before it's too late. And especially the dear SDA people, they're in such grave danger and they have no idea. They're in a Catholic church and they deny it. Their own leaders declare it Catholic, and they deny it. And so forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, but at the same time, give us opportunities, or bless them with eyes that see, and repentant hearts. And forgive even the trolls that come against us and lie and do all those things. We forgive them 100%. They really don't know what they're doing. And so please continue to bless the remainder of this Sabbath day. Thank you for blessing us with answered prayers. Including the prayers that we're putting in the text chat for the children's story and the adult study and all that, and all those that are on our prayer list offline. And thank you for hearing our prayers in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.